Hello everyone. Welcome to our Relax More Stressless session. This is Furkan from Covent Garden Inner Space. This is Stressless, Relax More. So let's start with a small relaxation exercise. This is something you can do before you go to bed or whenever you feel tense. So we will just do a muscle relaxation. And relaxation is the first step of relaxing the mind, I mean relaxation of the body. So let's start with that. Sorry. So make sure you're comfortable, your back is straight, your hands on your lap or by the side. And if it's okay, just keep your eyes open, rest them at a point in front of you. Or if you feel more comfortable, you can close them. It's up to you. So first, bring your attention to your breath. Just observe how your chest moves up and down, how the air goes in and out gently. And focusing on your breath brings attention to the present instantly. And it slows down your thoughts, which really helps with switching off the stress response of the body. Just focusing on your breath. Breathing in and out. And now bring your attention to your face. Check the muscles on your face, especially your forehead, your jaw. And make your expression as gentle as you can. It instantly affects your mind as well. And then bring your attention to your neck, your shoulders, your head. And imagine your neck extends. And your head is very light. Your shoulders down. Relax your arms, your hands. And as your mind slows down, your thoughts, you can carry this relaxation, this feeling from your mind all the way down to your back. Your tummy, your legs. When your mind is calmer, when you bring your attention to a part of the body with that calm, it will affect that part of the body, which is great. It's a tool we have. We can use it anytime. And then down your knees, all the way down to your ankles. So your mind is quiet. And as you become aware of different parts of your body, those parts also become quiet with the power of that peace in your mind. And you can open your eyes if they're closed, and see how you change the energy in your mind, in the room, all the all the feelings in the body, even if it's not so visible, it really affects deep down the peace you create in your mind. It really ripples down into your body quite quickly. And your body physically will respond in that way. You know, switching off the sympathetic nervous system, and then, yeah. So today is stress less, relax more. So we look at how to understanding stress, you know, where it starts, do we need it, what could be the symptoms. So these are the things also you need to reflect for yourself. And the main thing we are going to look at is where does it start really? And what can I do about that starting point? And then we'll have some tips and tools. Some tools that you can do instantly when you're in stress, and some things, and the most important ones, of course, that you prepare beforehand, creating that power in your mind. So you can use it when the stressful situation comes. So it's almost rehearsing before the situation comes, creating that resilience. That's it really. And we want to relax because it really helps with resilience. You can handle stress better. It switches off that stress response that your body is on constantly, especially these days. We are bombarded with information, people's problems, our problems, you know, loads of things that are coming on our way. So firstly, to understand, is stress really necessary? Why does our body, our mind create this physiologically? Why do we have this in our psyche? I mean, nature never creates something that's not needed. But the problem with stress is, yes, of course, we need it to protect ourselves from threats. And it could be a person or something I'm doing to myself. It could be a situation. So I need to protect myself. And that's the mechanism we use stress to understand what I need to do. This is threat, how I can protect myself. And also it could be that I need to have some kind of stress so I can prepare for something in advance, let's say a job interview or something like that, rather than being slack. I'm a bit wired in my head, so I can do something about it. So protection and precaution, of course we need stress in that way. But these days we are constantly putting ourselves under this physiological response, starting in our minds, which we will talk about later on. And it's constant. When it's chronic, it's damaging. And one of the most damaging things you can imagine, stress, definitely. You're exposing your body to these stress hormones like cortisol that you don't need it at that peak all the time. We don't need it all the time because most of the stress we have, these fears and worries, most of them are, they don't have foundation. It's just a creation of our mind. Even before the situation comes, you know, we start worrying about most of the times. And all that time, that those hormones, those thoughts, it's all affecting me in many, many ways. And in which ways? Negative effects of stress are huge. You know, there are books on it. You can have a look. But especially nowadays, like immune system, it really affects your immune system. And these days with the virus and all that, we really need to keep that up. Another thing I find is it really affects your decision making. You go to a supermarket, you know, which sandwich shall I get? Even simple things like that can become a problem, making decisions, because my mind is occupied with that stressful thing and there's no space for decision making. So to start dealing with this thing, first of all, I need to know I have it, because most of the times we don't even realize we're under stress. This, what I'm feeling is stress. So that's where we need to look at. And let's have a look at some of the not so obvious symptoms of stress. Personal experience, definitely sense of humor is gone. Decision-making, goodbye, you know, all those things. A doctor was talking about this, that if you're stressed, you start to think people are slow and stupid. And that's not because you're a negative thinker or you hate people, because when you're stressed, anything that's along the way feels slow. It's almost like blocking your exit. You know, the primitive response that we had, running from the lion. So if a teammate is not doing something at your speed, you start getting really agitated. But it's not because they're slow, but because maybe in your mind you are too wired. So thinking that people are stupid and slow is a sign of stress, actually. All that irritation, you know, getting impatient. Or seeing defects, like you go into a room and you see the chair is not aligned, rather than, you know, looking at all the other chairs that are aligned. Again, this is a sign of stress because your body is saying the chair is there, it's my escape route. These are all unconscious things, but these are some of the habits I found really interesting that's caused by stress. So what am I going to do with these symptoms? Are they bad? Definitely not. Imagine an illness, for example. Let's say you have a health issue, but there are no symptoms. By the time you get to know you have that illness, there will be a lot of damage done already if you don't have any symptoms. Let's say you're gluten intolerant and you don't know. You don't have any pain or cramps or whatever. By the time you get to know, maybe you damaged your gut, you know. So it's good to have symptoms. We need to like our symptoms, look at them, you know, try and understand them. So they're good. We can't just push them aside. But then what do I need to do with them? So I look at my symptoms. Second thing I need to do is, where is this coming from? What is the trigger? Why am I having these fearful thoughts in my head? What is underneath these thoughts? I need to go back. So finding the triggers, the root cause, which we will look at later on. And then, of course, I need to choose my response. What am I going to do in this situation? It is stressful. It is real. It's scary, painful, whatever. But what am I going to do? You know, what is my response? So first thing is, everything in life is energy. Stress is energy. I'm creating this energy in my mind, in my body, and you cannot get rid of energy. You need to do something with it. And what we do usually with stress, we either suppress it. So in terms of examples of suppressing, it could be you have stress at work, you come home, and you, rather than, you know, thinking about it and reflecting on it, what I need to do, how can I change the situation to my advantage or whatever, I end up just sitting in front of Netflix and I don't even want to think about the situation. So that's a kind of suppressing. Or you could call somebody and moan about the situation without thinking about the solution. So that could be another suppressing. Or you would, you know, indulge in a cake or something just to suppress that emotion. But what happens is, we all know, you go to work the next day and it's still there. So temporary solution. So we either suppress it or we sometimes express it in the situation before we reflected and understood what's going on in our minds, you know. And when you do that in that way, either you will blame yourself or other person. It will be quite emotional expression, maybe aggression, all that kind of thing. So we don't want that. So I really need to look at the situation and transform it in my head, my understanding of the situation, so that I can use it to my benefit. And then how am I going to transform it? That brings us to the definition of where stress starts. So where does it start? Some seconds there for you to reflect on. Where does my stress start? It all starts in my perception, the way I look at the situation. So it all starts in my thinking. So maybe you perceive a situation as worry, as overwhelm, because you say, oh gosh, I don't feel comfortable about this. I don't feel confident. I don't have time. But again, all of these is also still my perception. And when I do these things, when I create this kind of feeling of overwhelm in my mind, two things that my mind does. One is it starts to go round and round about the situation. You know, I can't stop that broken record. It overwhelms me. There's no solution. It just goes round and round. Or the other thing is when I have a stressful situation, let's say I have something to do and I'm time bound, it's stressing me out. And whatever comes my way, it kind of, it brings all the other to-do lists. You know, my mind is filled with all these to-do lists. Even they are small, I get really stressed about them. So these kind of thoughts I can think of. But how can I deal with all these thoughts, to-do lists in my mind? My brain is not designed for multitasking. You know, I can only hold on a few tasks in my mind in one go. And we will talk about a tip, a very simple tip later on about that. And then, of course, this will create a stress cycle. I will think in that way about the situation. Let's say a stressful office, Mondays. Oh, my God. So I have that thought. And then when I go to the office or if I'm working from home, still in lockdown maybe, and then I stress about the situation and I feel that way, and then somebody says something and it comes out of my mouth in aggression or blame or feeling bad or whatever. So it creates a cycle. I start doing this, and whenever I'm in that situation, I feel that way, and it creates that cycle. So I need to take control of this. I need to break this cycle. And how am I going to break this cycle? I'm going to look at this. So my mind, I need some control over here, almost like gatekeepers. So one of the things my mind should be able to do is letting the thoughts I need, let's say my to-do tasks, I need them to come when I need to do them. I deal with one, done, and then the next one. I mean, it might seem like a dream, but it is possible. The more I practice the muscles of my mind, which we will talk about, the more you can say, I mean, thoughts still come from my experience, but you can say, you know what, not now. I'm not going to deal with you now. I have this in front of me. And then the stress response goes down a little bit. So one of them is that. And the other one is I need to almost like an attitude, like the way my mind works should be in a way that it gives me the right information about the situation. I don't want this habit of my mind thinking, and creating these scary scenarios. I want a machine that gives me the right kind of information. And I am using that machine, the being, the conscious being, so I can program that machine in the right way. And science says, Our brain or the being, the energy, whatever you call it, is designed for positivity, 90-something%, and it's still untouched. But because negativity can be so strong that we feel that that's the only thing I have, like stress is the only thing that's I can experience at the moment. But actually underneath, we are all positive, powerful, wise beings, as long as I can shut down these worrying thoughts, etc. I can bring this power to the surface. So I have two gatekeepers. One tells me what to think at what time and when I'm dealing with something. Let's say if I have to do things in the office, I think about that. I don't worry about the situations I need to deal with at home. So that's that. And the other one is giving me the right thinking pattern about the situation. And that brings us to the new definition of stress. So again, we said stress is it necessary? It is in my life for a reason. And that reason is it's the messenger. It's telling me that I've kind of moved away from my kind of direction. And the direction is I am going to become a stronger, wiser, happier person. Everybody wants to go in that direction. But when I have a stressful situation, I really need to understand that I have moved away from that path. So I need to come back, which means whatever is in front of me, it's there for me to practice something so I can become stronger. So actually stress is a messenger. It is uncomfortable, it is painful, it is scary sometimes, but it is a messenger that's telling me that I need to maybe change something, learn something, maybe heal something, kind of look after myself, my body. It could be anything that's stressing me out. So what are these things? Do I need to change my job, or do I need to stay in the job and change the way I'm thinking about it? Maybe I need to practice more assertiveness rather than leaving the job because my colleagues are, pressuring me, whatever. So everybody's situation is different. That's why we really need to sit down, reflect. And I don't mean reflecting like you just sit down for hours and write and think. No, but just not constantly, but paying attention to what's going on in your mind, that awareness. What am I thinking about? What am I feeling about? Without pressuring yourself. So you're actually becoming curious. Why am I feeling like this? Because if your friend was in a situation like that, you would think, yeah, I wonder why they're like that. Why are they feeling like that? You could easily find the solution, right? When it's someone else's stress. But when you're in it, because the feelings are so kind of sticky, it's difficult to see that sometimes. So just to understand, stress is there to make me stronger, wiser, happier. What do I need to practice here as a person? What do I need to sharpen? Which skill? It could be assertiveness, patience, kindness to myself, to somebody else. It could be, many of these good qualities, positive qualities that we all want to have. And we have, we just need to bring them to the surface. So when I start to think about a situation like that, I almost instantly come out of this feeling of a victim. Gosh, why me? But I start thinking, I wonder why. What do I need to practice here? And of course, I'm not being naive and saying this is easy to do in a stressful situation. It's not easy because of the feelings we have, the stories. It is personal. But the more you stop and ask yourself this question, why am I feeling like this, without making yourself feel horrible, then it's almost like you put a space between you and the situation, like the friend example I gave. If it's like someone else's problem, Then that kind of solution-based mind starts to go, I'm stressful in this situation because I can feel that I don't have self-esteem, I don't hold myself with that self-esteem, and then people kind of feel it and then, push those buttons and pressure me. So I need to work on my self-esteem, not run away from those people, for example. It could be anything. And when you start to think like that, because your mind is working on it, you kind of feel trust for yourself. And also because you are saying stressful situation is there for me, it's almost like it's for me, you almost trust life as well, which is, it's a great relief. It's not happening to me. I'm not a victim. I am in charge. I can do something about it. And there are a lot of situations in real life, people say it was a terrible situation I went through, but I'm glad it happened to me because now I'm this, I'm stronger, blah, blah. Yeah. So with these, your mind kind of starts to quieten down because it's not going, oh my God. And then this brings us to a definition of relaxation. And before we look at the definition of relaxation, also ask yourself, what do you feel when you say, I am relaxed or relaxation? Does it make you feel, gosh, if I relax, I'll be slack, irresponsible, people will think I'm irresponsible, useless, boring, whatever. So check those thoughts as well, because those thoughts will not allow you to relax as well. The expectations you put on yourself. and could be expectations of others you kind of imagine maybe. But actually, when you relax, when your mind is relaxed, you will become more productive. I mean, we all know that, no? So in terms of definition of relaxation, the one we have at Inner Space is relaxation actually means whatever situation I am in, I say something to my mind, let's say, don't panic, you've got this. And let's say job interview and you're ready and you say, I'm ready, but your mind goes, oh my God, what if? So your mind doesn't do that. And also your body doesn't do that. You know, you won't have kind of cramps in your stomach. You'll be fine. So that means relaxation. I'm in total control of what I want to think and feel. Now, doesn't that sound wonderful? Yay! And what a beautiful way to live. But where will I get this power? As I told you before, you know, we are all in this together. It's not easy when you want to do it in the situation. So where am I going to get this power from? So there are some things that we can do, and I'll mention them here. So the first thing, of course, we need to understand, do this maybe in the next week, next day, next month, whenever you want to do. Take a stress audit. So what pushes your buttons? You know, what makes you stress? What pressures you? And check, you can write it down. Don't leave it to the end of the day, but do it during the day a few times, maybe stop and check, you know, why am I stressed? Was it this person? Was it this situation? But no judging, no thinking too much, no being hard on yourself or the situation or the other person. But do as much as you can, just almost like you're observing someone else's life. Again, it takes practice. So it could be maybe you get stressed because you start comparing yourself with someone else or with your performance in the past. Maybe, yeah, that brings back of confidence. Or maybe you got stressed because you didn't ask for clarification and you made these assumptions in your head. Let's say somebody gave you a task and you said, oh my God, how am I going to do this today? But maybe they didn't even say today. So maybe that's that. Maybe you couldn't say no, you got too much on. Maybe you have time management issues. Maybe you procrastinated something for too late. Or you didn't estimate well how long something would take. You thought it would be 2 hours, but it's now 6 hours and you're still on it. You know, not because you're slow and stupid, but you just underestimated the time it would take. So, you know, stop a few times a day and then see what is making you stressed. So that's the first thing to do. A strategy we can talk about is in terms of understanding your stress and dealing with it is looking at your fears. And fear is almost like a bully. And it just realizes that you're about to move out of your comfort zone and kicks in and it says, no, you can't do that. That's scary. So actually, if you have fear, we understand that I'm about to grow. Come out of my comfort zone. How cool is that? And the key thing is, it's, you know, they talk about as soon as you do something that you're scared of, the quicker you do it, the smaller the fear gets. And it almost disappears, of course, most of the times when you do it. So, you know, jump on it. Do it as soon as you can, whatever your fear is. But also along the way, don't be hard on yourself. You know, you're doing something new. It's scary. So don't be a perfectionist and go mad about criticizing yourself. Be gentle, be kind, you know, small steps, whatever. Yeah. Recognize the limiting thoughts in your mind that's creating that fear. And I mean, one of the ways to overcome fear is visualization, you know, creating a mindset. So you think about something, let's say a situation, and you want to be peaceful. You concentrate on that peace when you sit down to reflect on the situation, and then you create that feeling. And then it's much easier to bring it into action. Let's say you need to have a conversation with someone, and it's a difficult conversation. It's really stressing you out. Every time you think about it, you say, oh, I can't do this. Or you go and talk to them and you turn away. You say, oh, well, maybe tomorrow I'll do it. That kind of thing. So maybe visualize this, you know, creating this mindset, visualizing what you're going to say, how you're going to say. And until you feel comfortable, you do this and then act on it. And a lot of professional athletes do this, like Serena Williams, the tennis player. She does it. And look at where she is. Inspiration for you there. So that's that. So creating a mindset, creating that visual image, but the feeling, of course, feelings are more powerful than anything else. I mean, we know with the negative feelings, right? So that's one. And another strategy is, I'll call this fancy name, go to the eye of the storm. What that really means is quietening your mind, either with an anchor thought. Anchor thought is like a mantra. It's a thought that you thought before the situation and you think about it. And one of the anchor thoughts could be, for example, let's say if there's a big situation and it's too much for you, and the thought to have is, no, it's not too much because life will never give me more than I chew. Now, this is a spiritual law. So I start repeating this to myself as often as I can. And whenever there's a big situation that I think it's big, I say, no, it's not. Life will never give me something more than I can chew. So that's one. Or the other one I mentioned just a few minutes ago, everything happens for me. It's for my benefit. It's not to me. I'm not a victim. Again, you know, it takes time to bring these thoughts to your mind, but the more you reflect on these thoughts before the situation, the easier it will come to your mind. So these are called anchor thoughts. And then, of course, the more you do this, because your mind is focusing on one thought, then it's easier to find the solution about the situation, what you need to do. And that means you are bigger than the situation. What else? And in terms of looking at this, you know, going to the eye of the storm, so that's one. And in terms of the solution, in the solution, really, I'm not really looking at the person or the situation. I'm looking at myself, what I need to do. I mean, the example I gave in terms of self-esteem, which is a big stressor. So you look at the situation and you say, okay, I need to practice self-esteem here, you know, stand my ground, maybe assertiveness, doing in a non-violent way. So how can I do this? So I'm really concentrating on what I need to do, not them, because I can't really control other people or situations. Impossible. Have you tried? Yes, we all tried. It doesn't work. And because I start practicing what I need to do, I'm in control, whatever their response is. And my experience is usually if I can do this, either the situation will move away or it won't bother me anymore because I became stronger. I practiced what I need to do. And then it doesn't really bother me anymore. So that's really good. So focusing on what I need to do. So look at the time. And then, so I'm doing all this, you know, mind exercises, reflection and all that. But also I need to protect myself. I need to reduce my exposure to stress. And one of the biggest stresses for all of us is relationships, people. So I need to stop putting myself in situations that will create more stress. Let's say I need to stop controlling. Controlling could be like, let's say somebody's not talking to you and you've done your best. You know it's not your fault anymore. So controlling means you can't change them. They won't talk to you. What can you do? You can only have good wishes in your mind. So that's what you can do. So that kind of not controlling or interfering, you got to stop that. Maybe there are situations people need to sort out their own problems. I'm not ignoring them, being cold and not helping, but sometimes I really don't need to get involved. And that creates a lot of stress, getting involved. And especially nowadays, stop consuming other people's stuff. So it could be someone, even like watching the news all the time, it's not going to help anyone. It's not going to help those people who are in stress at the moment. I can really keep my mind peaceful and send them good wishes. That's more than, that's the best I can do, really. So that kind of consuming the negativity, etc. Just being careful, you know, look after yourself in that way. I'm being compassionate. I'm being helpful, but I'm not being dragged down by other people's stuff. So those things, that's another strategy. And in terms of tips and tools that we can do when we're in the stress in that moment, again, we did at the beginning, we just focused on our breathing, but you can do some breathing exercises. For example, there is an exercise called box breathing. But Google, you know, there are loads of them, and they're really amazing. We breathe all the time, right? So something we can access and do something about it, do it properly, it really affects. So box breathing is you inhale on five breath counts, you hold, exhale five counts, and then you hold. So it's like a box. And this helps with relaxation and concentration. I've heard and experienced. So that's one. And then the other thing is, if you're in a stressful situation, if you can, just break that cycle, leave your desk or do something else, something just to get that cycle break, so your mind kind of breathes a little bit. It could be make a cup of tea, for yourself or someone, or call someone, talk about something else. If you have a garden, go out into your garden, even just for a minute, really, and see how long that minute is. Sometimes really it's not a short time, and that helps. If you have a lot of things to do that comes to your mind, have a little notebook or on your phone, whatever, just writing down everything that comes to your mind, to-do list. That's really, I find that really helpful. And then later you can prioritize. But as things pop into your mind, just write it down. Just keep that notebook, phone close to you, and writing down, I find that's really, really helpful. And another thing you can do is, if you are one of the people who are addicted to doing, that creates a lot of stress, maybe make an appointment with yourself and have one day off, just doing nothing, literally nothing. And that doesn't mean just sitting in front of the TV, but nothing means doing something you enjoy, like, I don't know, just sitting in your garden, visiting somewhere. But if you find it difficult to stick to this by yourself and you break your appointment with yourself and you end up cleaning the whole flat, but maybe do it with someone else. Another thing, we did the muscle relaxation at the beginning of the session. That's really helpful before bed, just relaxing the muscles. And there are loads of apps you can do. So those kind of things. Also check our YouTube channel. We have loads of meditations that will give you the topic, so you can choose whichever one will help you. Muscle relaxation one as well. I mean, the usual things, you know, healthy lifestyle, eating right food, sleeping and moving, exercise and stretching is really important, especially in the morning. And work-life balance, definitely. But I don't mean like you stop working and just dealing with your family or whatever. But when you're working also, work-life balance means rather than task, 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 you pay some attention to your relationships as well, or how you do those tasks, you know, with kindness, with joy, with love, with patience. That means work-life balance. Because sometimes we are non-stop doing something because of work or responsibilities. But if I keep that balance of task and the quality, how I do something, I find that, that really at the end of the day, I feel much lighter. If I focused on living my day today with gentleness and kindness to myself and others. Yeah, that's about it really. So we talked about stress. Is it necessary? And we talked about the symptoms. So have a look at your symptoms. Keep a stress audit. And then you can find your triggers why that are happening. And then we talked about where it starts, stress. It's all in my perception. It might be a stressful situation. I mean, there, of course, all if I'm finding it stressful, it means stressful, right? But what can I do in my head to transform that situation so I can come out stronger? And then tips and tools, the going into the eye of the storm, you know, creating that quiet mind with an anchor thought. And then we talked about looking at fear, understanding that I'm about to grow, I'm coming out of my comfort zone, and doing it as soon as you can with some visualization, creating that feeling before the situation, if possible. Yeah, that's it really. So thank you very much. We have a few minutes. Maybe we'll do a short relaxation exercise again. But before that, I'd like to invite you to our Friday talk tomorrow. We have a very, very special speaker joining us on Zoom at 6:30 UK time about trust. If you can, please do. We haven't had her before, so enjoy it. And then that's 6:30 tomorrow. And then we have meditations every day at 1 o'clock and then most mornings. So check all of them. And if you would like to show your appreciation, you can always donate on our website. So let's do a visualization. We are using our mind like an instrument, right? So it's like any muscle. Really, if I pay attention, you know, that concentration, I can take it anywhere. So as soon as you make yourself comfortable, watching your thoughts in your mind, we have 2 minutes. Instantly, but gently, take your mind to a place that you've seen sunset before. Not the memories, what happened, but just the sunset. And you, it's end of the day, you've done your best. And just let go of all the thoughts, all the tasks. And just keep the sunset in your mind, the colors, the quiet. It's the most beautiful time, evening time. Just enjoying your own company, keeping your mind quiet with the colors of the sunset. And just bring your mind back to where you are. And even if you felt peaceful for a second, that means you can increase it to 10 seconds. And then 60 seconds, and then half an hour. Thank you very much for joining us, and hope to see you soon. All the best. Good luck.